I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Joining me now is the Academy Award-nominated filmmaker David Papurny. In 1993, his documentary The Broadcast Tapes of Dr. Peter was nominated for an Oscar and received a number of accolades, including 3 Cable Ace Awards. Since then, his production company, Papurny Films, based in Vancouver, has produced countless documentaries and television series. He joins me today to discuss the forthcoming broadcast of the docudrama Confessions of an Innocent Man, which he produced, co-wrote, and directed. Narrated by Martin Sheen, the film tells the tremendous story of William Sampson, the British and Canadian national who was arrested and framed for a 2000 car bombing in Saudi Arabia. Sampson was tortured, beaten, and sodomized in custody, and this film spares nothing in depicting the harrowing hell Sampson felt. Confessions of an Innocent Man airs this Saturday, the 19th of January, on CTV. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, David Papurny. Good morning, Mr. Papurny.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
This film, I read somewhere that you had sort of pursued William Sampson into working with him. Was he reticent to do this?
Yeah, he was. He was a bit traumatized by his experience, as you can imagine. Took me several months to track him down. It took me over a year before he agreed to even see me. And at that, I had to go from Vancouver to a small town in northern England where he was living to meet him. Took another year after that before he had finished his book with the same title on his own personal account of what happened to him before he turned his attention to my idea for a documentary film. And then another year after that, once he was finally ready to participate, took another year to actually find the funding and get a film crew together and start making it, and then took a year to make it. So it was a long haul.
And what made you want to tell this story?
Well, good question. You know, there were a lot of reasons that intrigued me about Bill Sampson's story. He's an amazing individual, bright, and his experiences are horrific, but his memory is unbelievable, and his ability emotionally to tell his story is really quite unprecedented. So not only is and he's an interesting character. He's multifaceted. He's both friendly but aloof. He is tough to get along with, but also very sociable. He's bright, but also prickly. So he was a colorful character to profile. Finally, I felt that Bill Sampson. I want to tell the story because Bill Sampson's journey is a journey that is unfortunately all too relevant and contemporary with the war on terrorism that we're fighting and the outbreak of incidents of torture and human rights abuses that is occurring across Canada and around the world. And how in the end, really, what happened to Bill Sampson could happen to any of us who travel, work abroad, and are in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I felt his story was an important story for Canadians to hear, especially because our own government was complicit in Sampson's long-term imprisonment in Saudi Arabia.
Sampson in the film comes off in the beginning of the film, by his own admission, as unlikable, if not incorrigible.
Yeah.
Did you get the same sense? You obviously worked with him quite closely over this, correct?
Yes, I did.
Do you get the same sense that he's unlikable? That you can understand that what people may have thought of him?
Well, there are aspects of Bill Sampson's character that are very difficult to like, and he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, in part because he's very opinionated, very outspoken, very frank. But one of the message riches of the film is clearly, regardless of what you think of the guy personally, he shouldn't have been put through what he was put through. He shouldn't have been tortured by Saudi Arabia, by Saudi Arabians. He shouldn't have been tortured by an ally of Canada. He shouldn't have been treated the way he was treated by our own government. And frankly, whether you like Samson or not, is irrelevant to parts of the story, because, as I said, what happened to Bill could have happened to any of us, and none of us can expect to see our governments come to our rescue, because they didn't come to Bill's rescue, and it wasn't just because they thought he was a bit arrogant and a bit difficult to deal with. They didn't come to his rescue because it was expedient not to. They didn't come to his rescue because they were more concerned with diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. They are more concerned, our government was more concerned with trade with Saudi Arabia than we were with the human rights that were being tampered with and abused of one of our own citizens.
You interview in this film a number of the politicians that helped rescue William Sampson, Stéphane Bergeron, the Bloc MP. You also interviewed members of the Liberal cabinet at the time. I think Don Boudry is in the film and Bill Graham.
That's right.
Was it easy to get their participation, knowing what this film was going to be about or what it was going to depict?
No, it was not easy getting some of the politicians to participate in my film, and some of the diplomats who I wanted to come on camera said no to me. It was only very late in the production process that Bill Graham came on camera and gave me a great interview. To his credit, Gar Party, the senior bureaucrat at Foreign Affairs, did participate and was confident and very willing to tell his side of the story, the government's side of the story. Don Boudria, he eventually came on camera to participate, but he was quite hesitant to be, I think, totally frank with me. And Stéphane Bergeron, well, Frank, he was one of the few heroes of the story, and he fought hard for Samson's life and was outraged at what was happening with Samson, both how the Saudis were treating him and how the Canadian government was treating him. So he was glad, actually, to be given the opportunity to describe what happened to him and what he saw go down both in Ottawa and in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
In terms of the film, making the film, was it always your intention to do the documentary with dramatizations?
The dramatizations are a provocative and controversial aspect of my film, Confessions of an Innocent Man, but it was always my intention to do them. I felt it was important that viewers saw in as graphic detail as we felt was tastefully possible just a little tiny peek at what Bill Sampson had to survive with. We hear a lot about, read a lot about torture, but we rarely really get to see it. I know there have been some dramatic films made recently on Iraq and Afghanistan that have some aspects of torture in them, but I felt that since Bill Sampson was so open and willing and ready to give me the intimate, graphic, horrible details of what happened to him, that I had a responsibility to try to turn some of those details into a dramatic form so that viewers could really, literally see what Bill Sampson was talking about, which really drives home the not just the horrible nature of the torture that he had to endure, but the outrageous and immoral behavior of the Saudi regime.
Has he seen the film?
You know, Joe, I'm not sure if he's seen the film or not. I've sent him a copy of it, of course. He's still living in the watched it or not.
And in terms of the making of the film, was he on set at all?
Well, he was not on set when we filmed the dramatic scenes, which were done back here in Vancouver, but he obviously participated with me for his interviews that were also done here in Vancouver over the period of 1 week last fall. And he came on location with me in the United Kingdom. I spent a week with him filming in London in, and around his hometown, and in Edinburgh, Scotland, where he spent many happier years of his life.
That, in Edinburgh, is that the thing at the end of the movie where he's sitting on a rock or something like that?
That's right, when he climbs Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh once he's free and helps himself to a glass of a single malt whiskey, something that he had dreamed, fantasized about being able to do during the 964 days that he was in solitary confinement in Saudi Arabia.
Who plays Samson in the movie?
A local actor plays Samson in the movie. His name is Brent State, and he's a phenomenal actor. I do mainly documentaries, so I don't get the opportunity to work with that many actors, but I was overwhelmed at the commitment and the talent that Brent State brought to the film. He lost 20, 30 pounds for the film. He read the book. He did some of the more difficult torture scenes himself, instead of allowing a stunt double to do it. He put himself in physical danger to do the film, and also walked naked throughout a set for most of a day, reenacting some of the behavior of Bill Sampson.
Did he talk with Bill Sampson at all?
They never met, no. They never did meet him.
As someone who's seen the film, if you know the story, when he was in captivity, it involves his excrement, and he was spreading it around the cell and so on and so forth. I'm just curious, what did you use for that in the movie?
How did we recreate
excrement?
His 2 years of human excrement that he used as a screw you to the guards? We used a combination of Dahl, canned Dahl, and cocoa powder.
Really? It's just these things you think about, you know, when you watch these things. Martin Sheen, he narrates the movie. How did he come aboard?
It was a great experience working with the legendary actor, the star of Apocalypse Now, Martin Sheen. We were looking for a strong voice, someone who could match Samson's strength of character. We were looking for a known personality because we wanted someone who could bring additional viewers to the film, and Martin Sheen was one of a very few group of actors that we approached, and he liked the story. He was intrigued by the story. He's a political activist, and he jumped at the chance to participate in the film. So once we had locked our script, I went down to Los Angeles with my producer Terry McEwen, and we spent most of a day playing voice with Martin Sheen in Santa Monica, and it was a great experience. He is a consummate professional. He read and reread cues again and again and again just to get it right and give us lots of choices in the back in the edit suite. So it was a tremendous pleasure to work with him, and it's a testament to the power of the story that brought Martin Sheen on board. Issues of human rights abuses are occurring in Canada and the United States and around the world today, and Bill Sampson's story is one way of being able to address these issues and deal with them.
What's the reaction been from film festival goers? I know it screened here in Vancouver and Calgary as well. And
yeah, it screened in a half a dozen film festivals, primarily in Western Canada, that opened up at the International Montreal Film Festival in August. We're going down to Seattle in a couple weeks to play at the Seattle Human Rights Film Festival, and response has been strong. This week will be the first TV broadcast of the film, but We've had great response at the film festivals. We've sold out audiences in Vancouver here. I must say, it's a tough film to watch. It's a tough film for people to sink their teeth into. It's a difficult topic, a frightening topic, and there are depictions of torture. And so it's not for everyone, but those who are brave enough to come out and watch it have been impressed and overwhelmed by the story and by Bill Sampson.
And the graphic scenes of torture, those won't be edited for the TV broadcast, right?
That's right.
It must be gratifying for a filmmaker that you do these things and they're not edited for television broadcast. I mean, it'll air in prime time.
That's right. I had great support by CTV and by the National Film Board of Canada, who with my other partner in the film. They were behind me all the way. It was a complex, difficult story to tell, and I couldn't have done it without him.
Have you talked to Bill Sampson at all lately?
I haven't talked to him for several months. He's struggling to make a living. He still has a murder sentence, a conviction over his head. He can't get work. His health is really bad. And I think he's still dealing with the post-traumatic stress of his ordeal. So it's been tough to keep in regular touch with him.
And in terms of, the film talks about this, seeking redress, seeking compensation.
That's right.
From his captors and his torturers. How is that going?
It's not going well. It's a tough uphill battle. His own government, he's a dual citizen, British-Canadian. The British government's fighting his attempts to sue his Saudi torturers. His case was overturned by the House of Lords in England. He has taken an appeal to the European Court of Human Rights, and he's waiting to see if that court will hear his appeal. If they do, he goes through that court. If he wins there, he can bring it back to the United Kingdom and have them rehear his case, his attempt to overturn the State Immunity Act that currently in the UK prevents him from suing his Saudi torturers.
And the reaction to your film from the Saudi regime has been what?
Nothing. They won't participate. They won't acknowledge the film. They are trying to pretend the incident never happened.
This is, as I said, it's a fascinating film. It's hard to watch, but it's necessary viewing, I think. And, David, congratulations on it, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll watch you on Saturday. Confessions of an Innocent Man airs this Saturday on CTV. For the commentary, I'm John.